One night I had a dream. It was a dream that took place at the end of time. And it took place in heaven at the final judgment. I tend to have a lot of dreams like this, as you know by now. This place in heaven took place at a river, of all things. And there were crowds, multitudes of people gathered on one bank of the river. And I was off at some distance watching as people, one by one, were crossing that river to get to the other side. I was a little puzzled by the scene that I saw there, and fortunately an angel fluttered by and lighted itself next to me, and I asked the angel, "What is going on here exactly?" And the angel said, "Oh, well, that is how the final judgment's taking place. You see, one by one, these people cross the river. And depending on what kind of life they lived, depends on how they crossed the river. You see, if they lived a very sinful life, then the water would rise very high on them as they crossed. Not so much sin in their life, it was a little lower. So the level of the water would rise to them according to the amount of sin that they had done in their life on earth." I said, "Well, that's very interesting. Not at all how I would have expected this to work, but that's fine." So I watched as one by one people would cross, people that I knew. I first watched as Phil Brown would walk across that river. And he was in good shape. You know, the water would barely touch his knee. You know, lived a real good life. I watched as Don Singletary walked by. Good man. Barely got over his calf. They got by with absolutely no problem. I watched as Jessica tried to cross the river, and she was trying to stay above the level of the water, just doggy paddling. I mean, the water was like barely up to her chin, just trying to stay afloat so she could make it to the other side. And she was proud of it, too. That's the other thing. Watched as one by one of you walked by, each of you with not a single problem in the world. And then I watched Janie. Janie Zodi, of all people, walked, and I tell you, what I saw was that the water was barely touching the bottom of her foot. I mean, it looked like she was literally walking on water. Now, knowing Janie as we all do, I thought, well, maybe there's something a little suspicious going on here. So I called out to her. I said, "Janie, what are you doing? What's going on here?" And she said to me, "Shh, I'm standing on Craig's head." Oh, yes, thank you. Let it never be said that Craig can get away with making cracks at me during the service. Hopefully that puts an end to that. Today is All Saints Day. It's a day when we celebrate those people who have gone into a new place, passed on to that heavenly river, gone from this earthly life into the life which they will now live through eternity. We celebrate their lives that they lived on earth, but the lives that they now live in victory in the hands of God. We're thankful for them, and we celebrate them this morning. Our scripture reading this morning also takes place at a river, not a heavenly river, but the Jordan River. And it is a place of celebration, of victory. Because Joshua, as you know, had successfully led the army of God into the promised land, a place where they were now standing on the victorious side of the Jordan River. But this was no ordinary place, not just a place of victory. It was a place of fulfilled promises. Because Joshua and the Israelites knew that this place where they now stood was the very land that had been promised to them generations and generations ago. Joshua remembered that it was long ago that God had promised to Abraham that he would be the founder and father of a great and mighty nation, more numerous in its population than the stars of the sky or the sand in the sea. But despite the fact that Abraham gave up all that he had and moved his family to a foreign country, he never saw the promise fulfilled in his lifetime. He never got to see that land the way it was now. And Joshua remembered that it was Moses who had been talked to by a burning bush and had been motivated to confront Pharaoh to let God's people go. But despite years of dealing with stiff-necked people in the middle of a hot and dusty desert, eating nothing but quail and manna, and at times wanting to give up, Moses never got to see that promise fulfilled. Never got to see what Joshua and the Israelites were seeing now. A conquered Canaanite people, a land all their own, a land that fulfilled the very promises that God had made generations and generations ago. The Israelites were recipients of an inheritance that was promised long before them. And so Joshua, their leader, realized something very important: that they were not solely responsible for the victory that was to take place here. Sure, they did the conquering. Sure, they would do the settling. Sure, they got to see all of this fulfilled. They conquered the Canaanites, just like the Yankees conquered the Padres, but they knew that they were not solely responsible for this, that in Joshua's mind, there were others who did the conquering before them. Have you ever tried to open a jar of pickles and been absolutely unable to? You know what you go through. You take that jar and you twist and turn your wrists and your hands. You manipulate your fingers until they become raw and red, and then you just give up. And inevitably, what do? We give it to a friend of ours who we think can open that jar, and just in a matter of seconds, our Schwarzenegger muscle-bound type friend just pops that jar open, and then we're able to get to those pickles. Reminds me of the number of times I hand jars over to Jessica because I can't open. But along with relief that we can finally get to that food, what is it that we sometimes say to our friend? Oh, I was just loosening that for you. Joshua knew that truth. Joshua knew that the victory that they had in the promised land was only because there were ancestors who had been before them that had been loosening the jar of God's blessings on their lives. And that they were not alone. That this victory that they now had to be shared with those who had long come before them. And moreover, Joshua knew that there was someone else that needed to share this victory with them. Who was it but God who had made this victory possible? So Joshua knew there were two groups of people that needed to be thanked: the people who had gone before them and the God who had made it all possible. So what does Joshua do? You remember the scripture story? He commands the 12 tribes, one representative from each tribe, to pluck a stone out of the Jordan River, representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, to put together, of all things, a memorial right there on the banks of the Jordan. It would be a memorial that would remind their children from years to come, generation after generation, that the promises were fulfilled, the promises that were made from their ancestors of long ago, and that God had made the victory possible. A lasting memorial through time. The scriptures even say the memorial can be seen today. We don't know about that, but it's significant to know that what Joshua wanted to put together was a reminder through all time that they were to remember the saints of long ago, to remember the victories that God had given to them. Today there exists a memorial of a different kind, isn't there? It's a memorial called the church. And I'd like for us to think for just a moment that each one of us can be just like those stones put together in a dramatic and incredible way, so that we as a church would never forget those people who have gone before us, who make our spiritual victories in our lives possible. Just think for a moment of the work of our spiritual ancestors, of a man named John Wesley, who started a movement in England and is the founder of our Methodist heritage, of a person like Francis Asbury, who braved the elements and came here and was the first superintendent of the Methodist Church in America, or of Sarah Crosby, who fought the odds and became the first female lay preacher in Methodism, or of Bishop Joseph Sewell, who was the first bishop of the Florida Annual Conference, whose very pulpit we have in our sanctuary today. And who can forget all of the faithful people who long ago envisioned that there could be a church right next to that lake, on this side of town. Those people who gave up so much and sacrificed so that we, right now, could reap the benefits and inherit the spiritual blessings that God had promised each one of them. None of those people are alive today, but they are here with us. And we, as a memorial called the church, can remember them. Another significant question to ask is, who are the saints in your life? Not just the saints of our church, but who are the forefathers and foremothers of your own personal journey? Who are those family members or those friends, those co-workers or those pastors who encouraged you when you were down, exemplified the Christian life for you, or gave you deep and new insight in how to live as a child of God? These are people that God has given you. And on this day, we need to remember them. People who have sacrificed and given so that you might have spiritual victory in your life. But just as Joshua remembered that not only did the ancestors of the faith need to share in the victory, Joshua also remembered that God is the one who made all of this victory possible. And for a moment, we must also remember God's many blessings in your lives, the many blessings that perhaps we forget in our daily living. How about if you remember this week some of the things that God has given you, like eternal security, so that you know where you will go after you pass from this place? How about the ability for each of us to think and to feel and to react to God's scriptures in a holistic way? How about the friends that God has given us that encourage us in our spiritual lives? How about our bodies and the way that we can take in and sense God's beautiful creation? How about our loved ones that God has placed within our lives? How about the provisions of God, just enough to make it each and every day? God's many blessings to us. How about the memory that we have to relive past victories and to learn from our mistakes? How about the reminder that in God all things are possible? It is significant that today, on All Saints' Day, is also the first Sunday of our stewardship campaign. Because in the next several weeks, as we journey together, we need to first begin in a common place, a place where we all remember that the God that we serve is a God who has blessed us abundantly. And we must, before we can respond and make a commitment to God, must take catalog, must remember all the things that God has given us. In a few moments, we will be celebrating another kind of reminder of a time when Jesus, on the night before he gave himself up for us, took signs of a memorial, symbols of Christ's presence, a loaf of bread and a cup of wine, and said, "From here on out, you will remember me through these two things." As we come together this morning for communion, let us use this time to remember Christ's many blessings on us as a church, and on each of you, all the things that God has given you through Jesus Christ, so that through the remembrance of communion, we can together as a church be a living memorial, stones of remembrance put together by God. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.